Welcome to the Lighthouse Church podcast. Thanks so much for joining us for this week's message. We want to say a special thank you to each and every person that gives and partners with us. To learn more about what Lighthouse Church is doing in San Bruno and across the San Francisco Bay Area, visit our website, www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Like and subscribe so you don't miss any new content. Now, check out this week's message.
So we are in a series called New Year, New Habits. I actually like this. We've been doing our fasting and prayer, 21 days of prayer and fasting with our greater Foursquare Church family. And on one of the morning Zoom calls, we've been meeting Monday to Thursday, 7:30 a.m., and then Tuesdays at 7:30 p.m. And Irish said, New year, same God. And I liked that. I like that. Jesus is the same. And so that's pretty cool. So whatever the newness of 2025, whether new is exciting for you or new is scary for you, there's going to be some big changes in your life and you're not sure if you're ready for it or not. It's pretty comforting for me as a person who's a little controlling and likes to know what's coming. It's kind of comforting to know that God is the same, that he doesn't change, that he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I just think that's pretty cool. And I would like to invite you, if you have not participated in those Zooms, if you're able to, it's in the church email. There's the links. You can pop on. You don't even have to show your face. You can pray or not. That's totally up to you. But we do the daily verse and prayer, and it's about, you know, 20 minutes, maybe 30 minutes that we spend together praying. And I think it's a really cool way to kind of focus our minds and our hearts as we're in the fast and just really seeking God. That's what we wanted to do. And we're also going to have on Sunday, January 26th, we're going to have in Vallejo the worship and prayer night for all of Central Bay. So the Central Bay area of Foursquare churches, all 17 of them are invited to worship together. So it's at 6 p.m. in Vallejo. And I know that's a bit of a drive, but if you want to go with us and you want to ride, just talk to me and I will try to make that happen for you. Okay? So we're looking forward to that. That's the way that we're going to close out the fast. And then I also want you just to make a note that February 2nd, that is in a few weeks, but Sunday, February 2nd is going to be our annual church meeting. And if you're able to come, that's a good one to be at, just because you can kind of see what the church has done over the past year and then kind of where we're going in the next year and welcome a new council member. That's always exciting. So I just want to encourage you, if you can, put that in your calendar and make the effort to be here. That's February 2nd. And then we do have soup today after service. So you are welcome to stay. And if you can't stay, take a bowl of soup to go. All right. So, New Year, New Habits, Part 2. Habits are good. Habits are good. Not all habits are bad, right? Most of the time we think about bad habits. You know, I don't know what your bad habit is. The habit of eating ice cream really late at night, that's not really probably the best of habits. For me, like, I don't know, a habit of sleeping in, that's not the best of habits, right? Getting up early is probably a good habit. I don't know. There's all kinds of habits that we have. You know, some are just weird. Some are gross. Some are unhealthy. But rather than focus on bad habits, we want to focus this month of January on good habits. What are some good things? And my theory is if you incorporate a lot of good stuff into your life, you're going to have less space for the bad stuff. So, for example, if you are spending a lot of time serving other people, you have less time to get into trouble yourself. You see, you're volunteering for Sunday school. You have to plan your Sunday school lesson. You have to get it ready. Now suddenly a bunch of time is taken up in your week and you don't have time to go get into trouble, right? So good habits actually, I think, are the better thing to focus on, more so than just worrying about being upset about a bad habit. Okay, so I call that kind of like redirecting and asking God to renew our mind and redirect us. Lord, what do you want me to dwell on? Lord, what do you want me to focus on? Because the more that you think about, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, I don't want to do it, now you're obsessing about it. And it's all you're going to think about. And you're going to be stressed out. So 1 Timothy 4:7 to 8 says this: have nothing to do with godless myths and old wives' tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. All right, so if we think of our habits as training, as preparing for something, then I think it makes it a little bit more practical for us. So whatever the new habit that we're going to incorporate into our lives now, this is preparing us for something. Now, physical training is good, right? This is the scripture saying, yeah, I mean, it is good to get on the treadmill. Like, that's good for you. It has some benefit, right? It's good for your heart and your lungs. And, you know, so it has some benefit in the present day. But he's pointing out that actually godliness, spiritual training to be godly, that's beneficial in the present, here and now, and it's also beneficial in the future, right? This is the sort of thing that counts for eternity, all right? So it's like, okay, spend some time. Yes, working out is good. It's good to work out your physical body. He's actually acknowledging that, right? But he's saying, actually, can you think about your spiritual life, godliness, as something that you have to train for? It does not happen automatically, all right? People that that run marathons, it does not happen overnight. You don't just wake up one day and say, I'm going to run a marathon, and then do it that day. No, I actually know a lot of people that have run marathons. I'm not one of them, and I don't think I will ever be one of them because that is just not my style. But I know a lot of people that have run marathons, and what they do to train for marathons is it's over months, actually, or weeks, and they will do short little runs. And then they will slowly add over time. And they have a schedule where, you know, on the 10th day, I'm going to run 4 miles. And then on the 12th day, I'll run 2 miles, give my body a little rest. And then I don't know the schedule because I'm not a marathon runner. But there is intentionality to their training. They have an end goal in mind, and they have to take little steps along the way to get there. And how much more for being who God wants you to be and being spiritually and emotionally healthy. But sometimes we approach it like it's just going to happen automatically. Like we say, God, change me, and then that's it. Or I go to church for an hour on Sunday, and that's going to do it. A spoiler alert, it takes a little bit more. I mean, going to church is good, right? I'm not discouraging any of us from going to church. But it takes a little bit more than just going to church on Sunday for your life to be transformed and for you to be spiritually strong, okay? So it's going to take a little bit more. Hebrews 12:11 also talks about the importance of discipline. Okay, so we're talking about training and discipline. This all relates to our habits. No discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. It hurts, right? Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. Okay, you ever heard the phrase, no pain, no gain, right? And when I have, on occasion, actually physically worked out, I will feel soreness afterwards. I'm like, what is this about? And usually people say, oh, that's a good sign. That means you were actually developing some strength. Oh, that means you're actually working out. So I shouldn't be upset about that pain. I should see that as a good sign that my body is getting stronger. So it is with our walk with Jesus. What happens is sometimes we get discouraged. It's hard to work through that pain. You know, when my muscles are sore on day 3 because I ran too much on day 2, I went all crazy. And then day 4, I'm like, I'm not even going to get out of bed. This is too much. It's a Netflix day. There's just no way. Right? And we just kind of, that's what happens to us. We have really good intentions about our habits. We have really good intentions about being healthy and being godly. And, you know, but we kind of have this thing where it gets painful and hard and we stop. And that's the reason why Scripture talks about training and discipline. It's talking about continuing to do something because there's for a greater purpose. So that means that you push through the temporary pain. You push through what's super uncomfortable and awkward, and you don't want to keep doing it because you know that in the end, it will be fruitful in your life. It says, a harvest of righteousness and peace. Okay, those are two things I want. I definitely want peace, and I want to honor the Lord. I want to be righteous. So it means I'm going to have to learn to be okay with this uncomfortable thing of being disciplined. Ugh. Most of the time when we get disciplined or things are painful, we run away from it and we go to the thing that's comfortable. I even have a hard time eating vegetables, you know, because it doesn't taste good. But if you keep going with it, eventually it starts to taste good. That's what people say. Some people say that. You know, when you develop those little habits over time, it becomes natural to you. And then you become a healthier person, a godlier person. The discipline of even, you know, opening up your Bible. It can be uncomfortable for you when you're not used to it and you don't understand what it's saying. Over time, though, days, weeks, months, years from now, you'll look back and you will see that you were changed by it. You'll see that you think a little differently. You see that you act a little differently. So I'm just going to take a few minutes to talk about 4 guys in the Bible who had some habits. All right. So last week we talked about some of Jesus's habits. Jesus is the greatest, of course. So any habit that Jesus had when he walked on earth, I'd say that's a good thing for us to mirror. All right. So Jesus is the number one that we should be modeling our lives after. But there's also some cool guys in the Bible who had some good habits. And so we're just going to discuss them, okay? So the first one is Timothy. And Timothy had this habit of learning. Do you know that learning is a really good habit to have? Not feeling like you know it all, not feeling like you've got it all figured out. The more that I learn, the more I recognize I do not know. That is all that I find out. It just kind of creates in me a thirst to learn more. And so the habit that Timothy had, you can see it in 2 Timothy 2:15. He studied Scripture and remained teachable, right? Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that does not need to be ashamed, one that rightly divides the word of truth. It's a good habit to have, to be studying God's word, remaining teachable. Just because you've gone to church for a lot of years or just because you've known God for quite a few years, that doesn't mean you know all there is to know about God. The habit you should have is one that's open and ready to learn. Oh, that's a good habit to have. If you bring that habit into 2025, you're going to grow spiritually a whole lot. Because most of us don't grow because we think we've already achieved all the knowledge that we need to have. We think we have it all figured out. So we can learn that from Timothy, all right? Let's be thirsty to learn. Let's be thirsty to know more of God's ways. Let's not be so quick to say, I've figured him out. I know him. But to say, I know him, I love him, and I'm learning more about him. Do you think I know everything there is to know about Matt? We've been married for, like, is it 13 or 14 years? I do not know everything there is to know about him. And I bet I still will be learning about him because I feel like he's changing. So I feel like I'm getting to know him. So what do you like now? What's your favorite thing to eat? Or, you know, what do you want for breakfast? I don't know. Different things. I get to learn about him, and he'll even tell me new stories from his childhood, and I'll learn something new about him. I think it's good to stay curious. It's good to still want to know more about people. What do you care about today? You know, just because I talked to you once doesn't mean I know everything about what you care about. And I think with the Lord, man, there's so much for us to learn about his ways and what his heart is for us and for the people around us. Moses had this habit of seeking God's presence. You could check that out in Exodus 33:11. He regularly sought God's guidance and his presence. He was looking to God for direction. He made that a habit. And I think when we have problems, we can have a tendency to call up our friends. You know, the whole phone a friend, like, who's gonna tell me what I want to hear? That's who I want to call. That's exactly who I want to call. The person that will agree with me on whatever the situation is and tell me what I want to hear. And if we can have that habit of seeking God's presence and hearing God's wisdom. So what does that mean? That means stopping for just a moment and saying, God, here's a problem. Would you direct me? And I'm going to tell you what, God might not give you an immediate sense of what you're supposed to do. But let's keep seeking him. Let's keep asking him. And then sometimes the answer to that question comes for me a few weeks later. And I go, oh, that's what you wanted from me, God. So, you know, that's okay. God doesn't have to answer you immediately. That doesn't mean he doesn't hear. That doesn't mean he doesn't care. But we develop that habit, like Moses, of seeking God's guidance, God's direction, because he's leading a whole bunch of people in a very difficult situation, right? Leading the Israelites out of Egypt. I mean, talk about pressure. And not knowing what to do and being in over your head, he had to be reliant on God for every step. Joshua had this habit of obedience. We could look at Joshua 1:7-8. Joshua meditated on God's word. He obeyed it. And there were some things God asked him to do, some details that I think some of us would be like, eh, you know, really, do we have to walk around in complete silence around this building, these great big walls of Jericho? Or really, are we supposed to make a loud sound now? That's crazy. How embarrassing. I don't know. Like, but this guy made it this habit of when God gave him direction, he obeyed it completely right away. All the way. I think that's how we need to start obeying God. If you can make that a habit, when you know that God wants you to do something, that you would be like, all right, I'm going to do it right away, all the way, and with a good attitude, that would be really amazing. That's a habit God's looking for from us. And then Daniel, you could see in Daniel 6:10, Daniel had this habit of consistent prayer. And consistency is a big deal. That's it. So when we say new year, new habits, we're really talking about what habit are you willing to be consistent about? What thing are you going to keep doing that at the end of 2025, you're still going to be doing it? If you could develop a habit of, like in Daniel's case, he prayed 3 times a day. Okay, that would work. So if you prayed before every meal, that's a good start. Okay, if you prayed in the morning when you woke up and you prayed again at night before you went to bed, if you could keep on doing that, that would be a good start of just giving the day to God, thanking God for the day, you know, even telling him I'm tired and worn out, but God, I need you. A little habit, but that's consistent over time, will reap huge benefits in your life. It's the same with our physical bodies, right? The people that go to the gym for 2 weeks in January and do all the weights and do all the cardio and do everything, but then they stop after 2 weeks, those people are not nearly as in shape as the ones that just walk for half a mile a day, every single day, the whole entire year, 365 days. You know, let's be real. That's just that's the reality of it. So I want to close with a story, The Power of a Tiny Habit. I'm hoping to convince you that something that God is speaking to you about a habit, that you would be willing to try to start small, not go too crazy big, but start small so that you can be consistent throughout the year. So there was a man, this again talking about fitness, there was this man who was passionate about getting into shape. He read every fitness blog, he watched all the workout videos on YouTube, and he even bought new gym clothes and shoes. Which is obviously the best part, right? Of course, the outfits for the gym are the best. He was so pumped. However, listen to this. This guy decided to start small, really small, to build consistency. Here's what he did. His first habit was to drive to the gym, walk in, wave at the receptionist, and then leave. That's it. The staff started to notice his pattern after several weeks of just waving and leaving. One of the trainers finally asked him, "Hey, so do you actually work out or do you just like our free air conditioning? Like, what's up?" The man smiled and he said, "I'm building the habit of going to the gym. Once that's automatic, I'll actually start exercising." The trainer laughed but admitted, "I mean, I've seen worse plans." Sure enough, after a few more weeks, the man started staying for 5 minutes, then 10, and eventually worked up to full workouts. In time, he became one of the most disciplined gym goers around, all because he focused on making the habit easy before tackling the big goal. I think sometimes we can go too big to start. And God's actually looking for some habits of consistency. Small, consistent actions are what lead to lasting transformation. Philippians 1:6 says that God who began a good work in us will be faithful to carry it out to completion. He will complete that good work in you that he started. But sometimes we like to jump ahead. When I started to learn the piano, my mom could play the piano scales so fast. It was amazing. And I wanted to play them like her, but I couldn't. When I tried to do that, I messed up a lot, and I gave up very quickly. But when I was willing to slow down and learn to do it correctly, slowly, now I at least know the scales. And I consistently did that, and now I know where the notes are. And actually, now when I play the piano, I don't even really look at the notes. I'm just kind of playing by feel because I learn those skills very slowly. And so I know what notes are where on the piano. Would we be willing to start a little slow? And so here's what I mean by that. What I mean by that is, can we be committed and consistent in 2025? Let's think about what God is asking from you, and would you carry it through out the year? So don't go crazy big. Don't volunteer to tell me I'm going to lead worship every Sunday in 2025, Pastor Allison. That's what I'm going to do. Don't do that. Nobody can do that. Nobody should do that. All right? But start with something that you can do. Say, I can do the coffee setup once a month. First Sunday of the month, that's all I can do. I think that's cool. If you could show up the first Sunday of the month and set up the coffee for church, that's 12 Sundays and you could do that, wow. You know what you'll find out? You're going to church consistently because you're doing the coffee the first Sunday of the month, and then you're there, and then you're taking communion because communion Sunday is the first Sunday of the month. So you're regularly realigning your mind and your heart and recognizing like how good God is, that he gave his son Jesus for you, that he died on the cross for you. So, you know, your priorities are straight. And then a lot of your other decisions that you make throughout the year are going to be more based on knowing who God is and who you are in relationship to God. And it has this way of kind of resetting you and realigning you. That is better than saying, you know, I'm going to feed all the homeless and clothe all the poor in all the neighborhoods, and I'm going to lead worship on all the Sundays, and I'm going to do this and that, and I'm going to... It's better if we can do something small and consistent. It's better to just make it that habit of, I'm going to praise God every morning when I get up. That's it. Don't make it a big deal. If you can't spend an hour praying on your knees, don't do it. Don't start there. You know what I mean? Like, it's cool if that's what you want to do, but start with something you can sustain. That is what God is looking for from us. Consistency. And then over time, maybe next year you'll add another habit. And then another habit. But with God, I think it's like we're playing the long game. It's a journey with him. You know, it was something that I learned early on in marriage, is like, it's a long, like, we're going to be married a long time, God willing. And so we don't have to have everything figured out in the first year or the first 2 years or the first 5 years. And we can make adjustments along the way. Isn't that comforting to know? And it's like that with your journey with God. You know, God's wanting to grow with us. He's wanting and he's so kind. He's so loving and gracious to us. So he's inviting us into some new habits that are going to hopefully make us healthier in this year ahead, which I think is super exciting. And then what you'll find is you have less of an appetite for the things that aren't so healthy. And then maybe that thing that you were hoping to quit, you're not even thinking about it anymore because your life is filled with some really good habits. So that's kind of how I think that God works often in our lives. And so I'm really grateful to him that he offers us in Scripture so many examples of good habits. And then we can also see that, you know, not everybody has it all figured out. Nobody has it all figured out, actually, right? And so just because you don't do everything perfectly doesn't mean you can't be consistent in a habit in your life. It's still going to bear fruit in your life. Let's not give up just because everything's not perfect. Let's continue to press into that one consistent area of your life, and then it's going to have a ripple effect. I can promise you that. And it's going to bring great transformation because God is so good like that.
Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Church's podcast. We hope today's episode has enriched your faith journey. If you have any questions or want to learn more about our church, visit www.lighthousesanbruno.com. Make sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.